Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is my next verse. Hallelujah. Oh, if it's sickness that you feel and your body isn't well, remember He's the great physician, and in Him all life dwells. Cast your cares on Jesus and you'll find you'll soon be whole. Believe His word and promise holy. Every promise, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Oh, you made asking for the salvation, oh, of one of your close relations, one you truly love. He's caught up far away. Look unto the Lord and by faith take your claim. Trust in God and call upon His name. Every promise, every promise is mine. Every chapter and every line, I am trusting in His love. Every promise in the book is mine. Hallelujah. You may find you've lost the passion, maybe because of your poor reaction. Life isn't that fair, and does He really care? Look unto the Lord and you'll find He's always there. Believe His word and go. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, trust in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Amen. Well, Brother Greg comes forward. Every promise. In fact, let's sing that song. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. Any.
Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Oh, when I pray in Jesus' name and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
We sing the next verse for Brother Greg. Hallelujah.
I prayed in the morning, I prayed at noon time, I prayed at the evening time. How we should pray all the time. Help me, Lord, to pray like Jesus. He prayed all the time. Hallelujah, He's an answering.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, He's an answering.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus' name. And my faith, the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
God bless you, saints.
Amen.
Before I start to think, I could take a while, so I'm sorry. And another thing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I don't think I ever cry that much.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Like last year. But the old tears, a tears of joy.
Amen.
So I will just look at down on some kind of spot to don't look at you, because every single person here, it's it did something to me too, to my choir today. I was praying last few days and I said, God, I don't want to cry.
Hallelujah.
But each tear, it falls from my eyes. It's just a gratefulness for what He did to my life. So I just want to say a few things. And if I take too long, I'm sorry. I cry a lot. But again, all tears, it's like falling would say, thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
So, first, I just, you know, God called my father when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And he read us Bible for the kids. And we really liked that time. Obviously, he was good. He tried his best. And he gave me example how to be, or he made make mistakes. But I would like to learn from them by the God's grace. Because I'll be father soon, maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks time. I'll be father myself. So I just want to do all best I can do to raise my child in the God's way. So then obviously when I was like a teenager, obviously it's a teenager, it's a rough time. You just start, I don't know, experiencing, and you just, even like a little bit like Billy Paul said, he just tried to a little bit work, but I know God always was watching over me. And I believe when I was little, at 4 or 5 o'clock, I believe, and I knew in my heart, I believe, but Satan fooled me. And I just was thinking, okay, you done so much wrong. That's it, you done. So I still believe, I still try to live as best I can, but I did bad. I did bad, and I was just, especially here when I came to Ireland. Sin in Ireland, it's so easy. It's easy everywhere, but Ireland, it just gives you everything. Gives you money, gives you good wage. In Poland, you just have to work very hard, and you live with the parents. So it's not that easy to... It's not that easy to sin, because you live in the parents, and then even when you're teenagers, messing around with the girls, and it just makes me even worse. Being an island, to be honest, it just makes me worse. So I just met Donna, and I even met messing around with her, you know, play with her feelings, because, you know, she loved me so much, that's true. And I love her with the time as well, by God's grace. But, you know, when we live together, she asked me, Do we want to open the business like a takeaway? Because she worked in Abracababra for like 11 years or something. I work in Supermax for like 6 years. So we have whatever it takes to open the business. Sure, we will try. So we find perfect place. Beside nightclub was a busy place. So this place, I was just all about. We didn't make much money, but it was all about money. Just go. So we work like 7 days in a week, 12, 14 hours a day, every day. Last 3 years, 3 years and a few months. And you see, it was all about money. 2 years, money. It was good times, and there was a little bit. You see, every year was worse. So first year was good. Second year was just, okay. And the third year was just actually struggle to just pay the bills, between bills and taxes and VAT, all everything. It's your life. So we just basically work to pay the bills, because summer is very quiet. And the winter time, you just basically work to cover all the bills for all the year. So we didn't make much money. And it was just bad. And... But, you see, when I was in the holiday, maybe, and one and a half year ago, I went for a month because, you know, my girlfriend at the time, she said, look, Greg, you work very hard, go to Poland for a month. So she worked by herself every day, 12, 14 hours a day with people, so it wasn't easy for her. And I went to Poland. I just, you know, enjoy my life, just doing things, doing nothing, resting. And then I went to visit my brother in last week of my holiday. And we went for ice cream. We sit down, and my brother, actually, he's a Christian as well. 4 years, maybe five now. So he said, Greg, listen, if you, I'm an island, and you are where you are, and you're telling me, Greg, listen, Thomas, do you want to go the place I like? And I said, of course, sure, to be nice. So he asked me, look, would you like to go the place I really like? Maybe he said, I love. I said, no problem. He said, would you like to come to church with me? And I said, sure, because I believe in God. I just didn't live the life I would like, but I believe in God. So I went with him. And I went with him, and I have amazing time. And I have a... And then I talked to the pastor, and my brother in his house gave me a few messages of Brother Branham, which I put on my phone straight away. And I just started listening, and my brother just tried to give me a good advice, just say, just look, just don't live the life you're living, just. So I was listening, it's like, and then I went for a holiday, another holiday, with the friends for some kind of, to Croatia. We went and just chilling, and he said, look, don't go, just try to change your life. And I said, ah, sure, you know. So I just went, but all the way there, I kind of tried to listen the message, tried to stay in the message. And then even when I come back to Ireland, I'd still listen the message. And I remember, I remember in the car, because I do delivery driving as well, because I have to do everything to just kind of save the money, not even to be rich, because we didn't make much in last 1.5 years. And you see, we make mistake because we, with all this following money, we make mistake because we take another place in Waterford, some kind of news agents, and that drags us down. Just that drags us down badly. So basically, the takeaway have to cover the bills from the other place. It was really tough, really tough, because you know, we have to look. We start work at 3 o'clock, we finish, well, let's say 4 or 5 o'clock, and then we have to wake up at 7 o'clock to go to the other place. So I have 2 hours sleep to the other place, to stock up the other place in Waterford. Come back, sleep 1 hour, go back to work. Somebody see my life spinning about work, 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 work. And then one day, you see, I was praying in the car. And when I was doing deliveries, I said, and I was crying, I said, Lord, please change my life. Change my life, because I don't want to live. I don't want to live that way. And I was praying and praying, and I just was speaking to Lord. It was in my heart. And then one day, it was another day, we went sleep, 2 hours sleep. I woke up, and it was early morning. And I was driving from the lane, because we live in the village at the time. And I was just, you know, I just was left and right. So I was going to go left or straight, I don't know. And I just look, and then look back again. I was like, I just drive. And the car came.
Hallelujah.
The car came. And actually, I didn't see him. I just don't know. And I actually hit him. And I just look at the guy. The guy was just, he missed off the pole. So the guy could die. I could die, because the road was quick, fast. So it was just that close for me to actually die. And I said to Donna, the guy was shaking because he barely make it to don't hit the pole of the electricity pole. And actually I scratched my front bump, so bump was gone. So let's say maybe 2 more seconds, I could be die, and the guy probably could die as well. And I said to Donna after, Donna, look, that's a big experience, and I know. And I told her, look, I know God tried to give me another warning, just Greg. Don't chase after money. Don't chase after those things of this world. And I knew that. I didn't believe. Thank you. Sorry.
Amen.
And I believe it's something, but I couldn't do anything. Then, and Donna, she just, oh, Greg, she just, you know, oh, that's just accident. That's what she could say. I said, it's no accident. I could die now. The guy could die. So his blood could be on my hands because I'm, what, tired or chasing after money. So then one day, I was sleeping, and God gave me a dream which I never forget.
Hallelujah.
It was very short. Just few words. I said, Greg, hurry up, because bride will go without you.
Amen.
And I just woke up, and I didn't know what to do with this. And Hallelujah. I talked to my brother, and he said, look, Greg, leave these things of this world and try to come closer to God. But I couldn't do anything myself. But then 2 days after, I feel something more in my heart, like, I can't leave it that way, because that's my last chance. I don't know how many more chances God will give me, especially after actually God touched me. He touched my heart and He spoke to me. He spoke to me directly, and I can't live like that. So I tried to find some church, but I didn't want to, don't take me wrong, I didn't want to just normal church, like I want to message church. I want a church when they believe. The brother Branham was a God's prophet. I wanted a church when they know who he is, because many people don't know who's brother Branham. And it's such a shame, to be honest, because you can hear God talking through the man. And I would just try to find, and you know, Donna, she have her beliefs, that's what she's saying. But I know it's not an accident I'm with her, because she's a good girl. And look, I try to find an internet, I'm not a good internet person. I try to find some mess in church in Ireland, and I couldn't find it. I just couldn't, if I just press some things, and I just leave it, I will find something, Carlo. Then I went somewhere, and maybe a few minutes after, Donna, she said, look, Greg, I make a few clicks, which I was surprised, because she was just like, no, she don't want to have nothing to do with those kind of beliefs I'm around. And she, but I came back, I said, look, Greg, I find the message church when believed the Branham in Dublin. I said, no way. I said, yeah, because I tried to search something in Hallelujah. Dublin, something in Ireland, and I said, I couldn't find it. I didn't know what to type in. My English spelling, brothers, no, it's not perfect at all. So I said, no way, show me, look. And she click it, look, that's that brother number, that size, took two numbers, and I call, I think, one brother, and then another brother, that was brother Wilmo, he answered. And I spoke with him for like a few minutes, and was such a nice and warm, I can feel like
Hallelujah.
Something I didn't feel before. And he was like very, very warm, and just like, look, brother, come and have a look. So I just type in, and I went to the church, and I just couldn't find it, because it's like, the building is like very, like a some. And I went there, and I sit down, and brother Andrew helped me a lot. Like, I mean, a lot. I have a lot of questions, a lot of tears, but I knew I don't want my life to be the same anymore. And look, you see, in the first 2 years, again, I chased after money, but I knew I don't want to be the same person. I don't want to be the same person. I would like to say, the tears of joy is just, look, you see. And then another thing, yeah, I went from this, and I really like the church, because brothers and sisters here, it's different. It's just like a family. Like I said, everyone here just helped me. I wish to know them more, which... Okay, so then I went to my sister, and I said, sister and Alec, they was just boyfriend and girlfriend. And I said, look, I find really nice church. I think you should come. And there was just, Alec was like, you know, he believes as well. I know deep down he believes. And my sister, I can see tears falling from her eyes just like that, because I know she loved the Lord. I knew, because but the things of the world, Satan fooled her as well, like all of us on the beginning. And I saw the tears, and I said, no way. I actually just say a few words, and she started crying. I didn't even say much. I just said, look, just you should come have a look. And she started crying.
Hallelujah.
And then, you know, I was praying. I try my best, and look, one day, I know this is kind of her testimony, but it has such a big impact in my life, because when in my takeaway, I was telling to the people, I said, look guys, it's this and that, and I tried to tell them about Lord, because it was my place, so nobody will tell me, don't say that, don't say, oh, go to back to work. So that was blessing. So I just tried to say my work was a blessing, and at the same time, it was actually very difficult for me. So anyway, I know it's my sister's testimony, but God gave her a dream as well. And when she texted me this, Hallelujah. Or she called me, I called her back. I just, like, I was, the way I was standing and in front of the counter, I just feel like I've fallen on my knees, the way I was standing, and say, thank you, Lord. So she said that Jesus, she have a dream. Jesus visited her in a dream, and she saw him in the white,
Hallelujah.
White robe with a kind of some belt or some kind of fear. And I was like, wow. And she likes to tell me more, or she maybe text me and I read this. So I just call her, tell me more. So she said, he told her, Olga, hurry up.
Hallelujah.
And then he showed her, she said she didn't kind of see the face, she saw him kind of standing like beside her, and show her map of the world. Just look, Olga, on the footpath, as it's map of the world. And from the world was just little flashing lights, little here, little there. And just Jesus took the hands like that, and slowly put a little big ball, like a ball. And I said, look, Olga, from all the world, I will take just few of them.
Amen.
So that was just even more. I said, thank you, Lord, for that. And you see, from that time, Alec, the two of them, they start slowly actually go to the Lord. And you see, and the thing I want to say, two more things. We struggle with, maybe not with the money, because we always have enough. Lord, take care of us last year. But you see, like this song, I'm not like I want to be. I'm not Amen. like I ought to be. But I thank you, Lord, for the last year I'm not like I used to be. And I two more things I just want to say as well, which kind of like kind of testimony I want to say before a kind of little background. I work a lot. I work really 7 days in a week. Even, you know, I was tired. I was tired every single day. And I finish work, even Saturday, I just finish work, let's say 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to sleep maybe 6:30. And I have to, and I waking up at 9 o'clock. And let's say, I don't want to say so many times, but few times, you know, when you just sleep 2.5 hours, 2 hours or 2.5 hours, you are exhausted, because you know when you finish church, I will be in Carlo at 3 o'clock, and I have to go to work straight away. So basically my Saturday and Sunday is just basically, and then Friday it's as well busy. So Friday, Saturday we have fellowship because of the brothers visiting us in Carlo, which is absolutely another blessing. So thank you, Lord, for that as well.
Amen.
And I was exhausted. I was exhausted. And the point of this, I'm saying, not just because I just sleep 2.5 hours, 2.5 hours, because I hear voices in my ear sometimes saying, oh, come on, man, you're tired. Look, God will understand.
Yeah.
You're exhausted. Sleep, because you know you have to go work in a few hours. And I just, you know, listening to this, I said, go away from me, Satan. I'm going.
Amen.
But I'm not just saying for my strength, for God in me, give me the strength. So as soon as I hear the alarm going, I'm just straight on my legs. Don't give it Satan to just, you know, a chance to just open my eyes. Just like, oh, I would like to say it was never like that. I don't even say, Greg, look, come on, sleep, have a rest. But then she saw my determinants and like my... She actually support Wegman. Go, because she know it's something else. She know it's something serious. And you know, one more thing I want to say. When I actually have this, when I just say I couldn't find the church, then I find the church, and I said to Donna, I said, Donna, look, I don't know what will be my future. I don't know, but I know one thing. I will not be the same.
Hallelujah.
I'll be not the same. I don't know how. I don't know which church. I don't know where will I go. I don't know how my life will be. But I know one thing. But I will not be the same. But Donna, she said, look, Greg, this is serious. You know that? I said, yeah. That was 1 year ago when I just beginning. It's not like a diet. 2 weeks time and you will quit. She told me that. And I said, look, I don't know how I will do this. But I know I will be not the same.
Hallelujah.
So Donna, I know she didn't believe. She have her own belief, Catholic beliefs. But I know God give her in my life to help me because to be honest, I know because of the God, but here on the earth, if not Donna, I will never find this church, that's for sure. Because I was kind of not give up, I just like, okay, I will go find somewhere, Carlo, because she helped me find this church, which I have my family. You guys, you are my family. You are my family, guys.
Amen.
And two more things, yeah? So just before, I work a lot. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I work a lot. And I'm tired. I would like to sell the business because I want to start my new life as well. Because the business just dragging me down physically and money was just... So I was praying. But, you see, I was praying with attitude. I said, Lord, I want to sell the business. But not my will thy be done, because maybe...
Amen.
Maybe somebody still have to come to my place and I have to testify. Maybe somebody is still there to come before I sell the business. I said, Lord, I want to sell, but don't look what the Greg wants. I want to look what she wants, because
Hallelujah.
If you want me there, I will be there. I will be tired. I will work as best I can. But if you want me there, I will be there. But I really want to sell because I want to have more time for the Lord. That's my attitude, because I'm exhausted. I don't have much time for God. I come back home, I'm reading one chapter if I'm lucky. My eyes fall away and I'm just sleepy and I'm tired. But one more I'm thinking about my work. I knew God knows what he's doing, because just because last year I have opportunity to listen so many messages at work. I was working, take care of my family and my earpiece. I was listening to the messages. So that's amazing, because I grow a lot. And God teach me other things. Humble, how to be patient, which I still working on it. And I ask God for more. So I was praying. I said, God, please help me sell the business. So that buyers came, buyer goes. You know, they all messing around. They just, everyone interest, but nobody wanted to buy the place. And they, God brings me, I have nothing. So in one time I have two or three of them interest. So God helped me sell the business last Monday, and I'm free because in some point it was a prison for me. But on the other hand,
amen.
You see, it was a prison for me, but I'm grateful for God what He done, because He knew, He was waiting till I'm ready to go from this place different person, which I am. And that's another thing. We live in the kind of field, we kind of bought very cheap some fields, so we kind of live in the mobile. So everything was, so it's winter, we don't have electricity there, we don't have water there. Why? Because we sleep, go work, take shower in the Donna, because Donna's parents live in the play, in the town. So we sleep, work, sleep, work, sleep, work, sleep. That's what we do. So basically we don't even need electricity, because we go home, we go sleep straight away, wake up, we go in work. So my point is, and it's winter coming and the child coming as well now. So we was gonna live in the Donna's parents, but Donna's parents place, it's four of them plus parents. And the house, it's they cursing, they shouting, the atmosphere, it's no love at all. It's just giving out, it's just money, it's just, you know, those kind of things which I didn't want to have to do. And the mommy smokes, so even if I'm there for 1 hour, my all clothes smell like smokes. I said, look, if I come back from work, I don't want my baby smell like smokes. And they all shouting, I don't want my first baby word will be cursing or saying not nice things and just TV and everything. The reason I'm saying this, I was praying, God, we will live there. We will live there if that's your will. I want to go there when you lead me, because maybe I'm there for them to pray for the house. Maybe I'm there to show them example. But if it's possible, I really don't want to live there, because that's not a good example for my child. And I was just okay. The bed was bought. We was gonna live in the sitting room. That's fine. And we see one time, we see the guy from the place we live, the mobile. And we still was gonna kind of move in the next few days. And I see he makes some pictures, because it was rain, was a little bit more water in the little river there. So he make pictures like, oh, look, Donna, more trouble coming. So it was old man. So then was like, ah, sure, the more trouble, no problem, we'll be alright. So then the next day we were just sleeping. And actually somebody knocked to our window. It's like, oh, sure, another trouble. What else we can expect there? So the guy called and said, look, guys, I actually have a house to rent just across the place you actually are there. Would you like to come? And I said, usually I charge people $5.50, but look, I will charge you $4.50. But me hearing this, when there, I said, me being a chancer, I said, look, we'll give you $4.25. So he stopped laughing and he said, ah, sure. So I said, where's the house? Look, just cross the road. I said, no way. I said, have water? Yeah. Electricity? Yeah. Heating? Have even stuff. Come, I said, when you want to have a look? I said, come on, why we waste time? We just go have a look now. So we went, he said, look, we like it, we taking it. So my point is, God sent the man, and was that was the man who made the pictures of the river. So we think it's a trouble, but it wasn't a trouble. It was actually a man who was looking out after us. So he sent the man, he knocked the door. We didn't have to knock anything. So just my point is, God opens a window, because I said, look, I said, Lord, I will go to the Donna's parents' house. Not my will, thy be done. Whatever you bring me, I go. And God opens a window. So I said, you see, that's why I really like this. Lately I find something like little short, brand I'm kind of saying about put God first. And I said, when you put God first, amazing thing happens. Sometimes you can think it's just like, you know, sometimes things of the, I have to do this first, do that first. I would just say, put the God first. Your attitude will shows, and my attitude always is one. Look, God, it's this and that, but look, whatever you lead me, I will go. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for everything you done for me. Thank you for the church I have. Thank you for every tear comes from my eye, because that tears is tears of joy. It's not a sadness; it's a joy I have in the heart because of you, Lord. That's what I want to say. And I would like to say one more, maybe think if I can, and that for the little ones, having a father, mother, or maybe two parents when they're Christians, that's the best thing can happen to you. I'm just saying, because you see, my mother, she didn't believe, she was a Catholic. My daddy, she just always believed the Bible. Mommy, she was against. But I'm just saying, me looking back, I'm so grateful for my father being a Christian. My God called my daddy, because sometimes I think, how about if God didn't call my daddy, where will I be now?
Amen.
So sometimes, let's say, I don't know, because I don't have a kid yet, it's common, maybe sometimes kids are cranky and giving out, oh, daddy, just stop about this, about that. Be grateful and just say once in a while, thank you, daddy. First, say thank you, God, you call my daddy.
Amen.
And then thank you, daddy, you read me Bible, because this seed, it will plant in your heart. God will turn your life in some stage. You will make mistakes like all of us, but in the last year God did so many things in my life. I'm just go to the church and just thank God. Thank God for everything He done to me, and I'm appreciate for every tear falling from my eye, because that's just tears of joy. Thank Amen. You for listening, and God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We'll sing that song, I Know the Master of the Wind. But before we sing, I had asked Sister Lillian to give a testimony, but she wasn't confident. I just wanted to say it myself, because the sister was told her job is over in January, and she got a job in Kilkenya. And I phoned her the one day, and she said, I'm just coming from an interview, I got this job. And she came home. I said, look, let's sit down. So we sat down, because what we do, we have prayer either in our place some days, or we go down to their place. So it's 37 or 43. So one of the nights we said, look, let's sit down, let's discuss this issue. So we said, look, you can't move to Kilkenny because it's way out, it's too far. You need to stay in Dublin. Right, what's the situation? Okay, let's put a prayer request. We have our prayer group on WhatsApp. So we put the prayer request, and we said, okay, let's put conditions, because we want to see how precise God is. So we say we put the conditions. We want a job closer. We want a job more comfortable. We want a job more with much more finance. We put all those conditions. And we said, we'll ask God for that, because God said to ask. And we prayed, we have a day of fasting. We fast a day a week. Sister Nachiza asked for 2 days, but I'm not strong for that, no. So we fast a day a week, and then after fasting, we meet, we break fast, we pray before we break fast, we read scriptures. So within a few days of putting our conditions and many other requests we had in there, the Lord answered Sister Lillian, and she got a job, I think, in Glasnevin. You know, so she'll train as a house doctor she'll train to be a registrar, but they'll first give her a job as a house doctor. No, so it was quite amazing, because even the other friend she has, he can't get a job, but she got a job. Jobs are scarce, you see. So all we're saying is we give praise to God. We're not giving the testimony for ourselves, but we're just boosting each other's faith, like Brother Greg's tears. They boost my faith to say, wow, that testimony is like honey to me. And all these testimonies. So God is an answering God. Let's sing that song. Let's stand and sing that song, I Know the Master of the Wind. We sing it with conviction. My boat of life sails in troubled seas. Whenever there's a wind, I sail. But I am afraid who watches over me when the breeze turns into day. Oh, I know, I know, I know the Master of the wind. I know my blessed Redeemer. I know the Maker of the rain. He can calm a storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the Master of the wind. Hallelujah. Oh, sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights, brings me low but never brings me down. Oh, I know, I know, I know, I know. And make I know, I know, I know the Master of. Amen.
Without the master of the wind,
hallelujah.
When you take your problems to when you take your burdens.
That's right.
When you're tempted, when there's situations bigger than yourself, where do you go?
Amen. Right.
Do you go to the bottle? No. Do you go to somebody else's wife? You know, that's what the world does. They're going to hide themselves away. But friends, to know the master of the wind.
Hallelujah.
What a privilege and what an honor that is.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. Sister Julie is asking for prayer. She's got exams this week. So remember, Sister Julie's got exams.
The wisdom of Solomon. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's read from verse 6 up to verse 8. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, to you be glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Father, we so much want to just come unto thee. What a privilege to bring all of our cares and to cast them upon you. What a privilege that you are the one that equips us, Father, to overcome the adversary of our souls, Lord. The opposer, Father, the accuser, all of his devices, all of his wickedness, Lord. Father, when he is no more, we will still be. Father, when he has come to an end, we will still be worshiping you. Father, no matter what he does, no matter what he says, Father, we look to you because the work that you've done in us is far greater than anything that he can try to do to us. So bless your people upon this day. Bless your word. I do pray for Sister Julie. Bless her in exams, Lord. Give her peace of heart, peace of mind. Father, lead her, Lord, even as she had study and prepare. Grant her prosperity, we pray, that she may worship you. Father, we thank you for the testimonies that you've heard. We thank you for the testimony of our brother, Lord. Bless him. Father, establish him and the saints that are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. You may be seated. Is this working, Brother Shep? Yeah, this one, good. Yeah, good stuff. I really liked in Brother Greg's testimony one thing. Friends, there's many people who look for every excuse they can to not go to service. Amen. It's the truth. And more as time goes by, we have so many other things we say we can't go, but you find certain people, they'll sleep 2 hours and they come for service driving from far away. Amen. Now, the prophet says that about Simeon. He said, God raised up Simeon as a witness, he said. He said that on the last day, when all the rest of the people would come and say, how did you expect us to believe in that Jesus? How did you expect us to believe in the conditions of that day? The prophet says, the Lord will call for Simeon and say, if he could believe it, why couldn't you?
Amen.
And friends, that's how whenever I hear somebody else's testimony, it always challenges me.
Amen.
But it was really encouraging because Brother Greg is repenting the same way that we did.
Amen.
When we repented, friends, we didn't compromise.
Amen.
We didn't compromise with the world. We didn't miss services just for the sake of missing services. We wanted to be in his house. We didn't want to miss out on anything. It's a blessing to see that kind of a conversion. And may the Lord continue that work which he's begun. I wanted to have a look here, just to continue on by the grace of God, what we started on Friday at the prayer meeting about creating an atmosphere. But I'd like to just take something from a quote which we'll get to, just to give it a title, Between Us and the Glory Land. The prophet uses that statement. Brother George actually sent around a quote of the Saint Sword on Message Dublin the other day. And the prophet actually says that in that quote, and I liked it because I was studying down a certain line, and that quote was exactly what this kind of a thought was. And I liked the prophet was saying, there's something between us and the glory land. He says, the glory land of all of his promises, of his manifestation, there's something between us and him. That's what he was saying to the people. And he was saying that that was the battle that we needed to fight to free whatever it is between us and the glory land. So we wanted to speak a little bit today about one particular aspect that would stand between us and the glory land. And obviously the idea behind it is to better equip us so that we prevail and overcome on anything that stands between us and our inheritance. Us as a church, between us and the fullness of the promises of God. If we don't see the full manifestation of God, there's a reason. There's something which is between us and the promises of God. There's something opposing us, something resisting us. You know, so we've got to seek the grace of God to know, what is this enemy? What is this that we need to overcome? What is it that stands between us and the next stage in our spiritual development, or the next stage? Because we always, like Peter said in that scripture we read, we have an adversary. And he doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. He's ever present. He's always on duty. He's an opposer. He's an adversary. His name is the devil. He's the serpent, that old devil and Satan. That's what he is. So we want to study a little bit down that line to see who is this enemy and how does he work? Because friends, he's very cunning the way that he works. But once we know his devices, once we know the way that he works, God has equipped us now to prevail and overcome. So let's not sleep today, saints. Let's shake ourselves if we're tired and let's get ourselves into the word. 1 Peter chapter 5, we saw it. Let's read it just again while we see it, just to read verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Now it's amazing that the Holy Ghost in Peter has just been speaking about, you know, the elders, some the young people are submitting yourself to your elders. Then he speaks about casting all your cares upon him. So there's something about cares that is related to this. Then straight away in the next verse, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Friends, he's been seeking you this week. He's going to be seeking you next week. He's going to be seeking you the week after. He's going to be trying to work in our midst. He's going to be trying to work in our lives. But friends, God has equipped us. He's given us more than we need to overcome in this age, if we just use the resources that he's given unto us. So we think of who this is speaking about, the devil. Now, who is the devil? The devil first was Lucifer. Now, we're speaking about creating an atmosphere. So just as much as we saw at the prayer meeting so much on Friday about the importance of an atmosphere for God to be able to express himself, exactly the same is with the devil. Satan needs an atmosphere to be able to express himself. For him to show forth his characteristics, he needs to generate an atmosphere just as much as God needs to generate an atmosphere. And that is the great spiritual warfare that we are called to every single day. Because Satan's going to try to destroy that atmosphere, and God is going to try to establish that atmosphere. And it's up to us in our attitude. It's up to us in our approach to ensure that God has the right of way, that the Holy Ghost has the right of way. But there's always going to be a battle. And when you see saints, we saw it on Friday, Psalm 133. How blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Satan hates that kind of an atmosphere. He hates to see brethren dwelling together in unity because he knows the power of that atmosphere. He's seen it in the upper room. He saw the full blessing when the full inheritance came down upon the church because of their atmosphere. And it didn't take him long in the book of Acts to start working to try to break down that atmosphere. And friends, if you've been in a good spirit, Satan's not going to leave you like that. If you've got progress, you've got momentum. Brother Greg's giving testimony today. Satan doesn't like those kind of testimonies. So he's going to try to work. He's going to try to use his wiles and his guile and everything in his armory, all the dirty things that he uses, all the cunning that he can use to try to take you out of that atmosphere. He doesn't want you to make progress. He doesn't want you to walk in faith. He doesn't want you to be positive. He wants you to be weary. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be doubtful. He wants you to look at the future and wonder about your future. But Christ never died for us to live that kind of a life. Amen. Christ didn't die for us to live a halfway kind of a Christian life. But it's when we give opportunity to the devil, when we give room to him, because he's very cunning, friends. Right from the beginning, he's been very cunning. Think of who the devil is. He was Lucifer. Yeah, he was the morning star. He was maybe the first thing that God created. That Jesus, when he spoke everything into existence, the word, maybe Lucifer was the very first thing that was created. He was the son of the morning. Yeah, he was there in the beginning. He had a great, great position in the courts of heaven. He knew about that atmosphere in heaven. But imagine this being with that anointing, when iniquity rose up inside of him, he completely changed the atmosphere of heaven. Amen. Imagine a being that could go right into the very presence of God, where God dwelt with the elect angels, where there was a perfect atmosphere. And Lucifer changed the atmosphere to contention in heaven. This isn't a small being that we're dealing with here. He changed the atmosphere. And now all of a sudden there was one third of the stars, one third of the angels who listened to his tale. And there became a warfare now. And then there was the devil and his angels. And they were fighting against Michael and his angels. Satan knew that's his job, is to change the atmosphere. And once he can bring confusion, he can bring strife, he can bring misunderstanding. By telling his tale, he's got an atmosphere now that he can do what he wants to do. He can express himself. Then he started to express what was inside of his heart. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be seated in the sides of the north. He wanted to reign over the stars of God. He wanted a kingdom greater than Michael's. But the first thing that he had to do was change the atmosphere. As long as that atmosphere stayed the way that it was originally, the way that God created it, there was nothing that Lucifer could do. He was bound by the chain of circumstances. Amen. The right atmosphere paralyzes the devil. Amen. The devil cannot work when there's a right atmosphere. It's absolutely, he can't do anything. In your life, if you have an atmosphere of faith, he cannot do anything to you in your life. He cannot do anything to you. But once you let down the bars, once you allow him to wear you down, once you listen to his tale, once you give ear to the things he has to say, once you allow his darkness to come into the atmosphere of light that is projected around you, your atmosphere starts to change. Hallelujah. And then sickness can come in, and then doubt can come in, and then all this unbelief can start to come in, which are the attributes of Lucifer, of Satan. Those are the very things he wants to sow into your experience, because he doesn't want that godly atmosphere. He doesn't want a positive atmosphere. So once he gets cast out of heaven, he comes down to Eden. What does he do in Eden? He changes the atmosphere in Eden. Imagine Eden, the prophet says, was a paradise. The glory of the Lord covered the earth as the waters covering the sea. There was perfection in Eden. But when Lucifer was cast out and he became Satan and the devil, he came down right into the garden of God. And what did he do in order to establish his Eden? In order to establish his purpose, the first thing he had to do was destroy that atmosphere. So he went now to Eve and he told his tale. And she stopped and she listened to him. And something entered in that changed the atmosphere. Yes. And the prophet says Satan changed the paradise of God into a waste, howling wilderness. Imagine Adam and Eve, the contrast they could look at. They could speak about what the atmosphere used to be. They could speak about that perfection when there was no death and no sickness. They could speak about when the great Logos would come down in the evening time and fellowship with them. When there was no sorrow, there was no care, there was no fear. When the lion lay down with the lamb, when there was perfection. But this being, the same one that hates you today and hates me, and the same one that wants to work here today just like he worked there, that's his job. That's his job, is to change the atmosphere. Whenever he sees the garden of God the way that it's supposed to be, Satan's never going to leave it like that. He's going to be busy. And that's why Peter tells us, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion. And friends, he's a cunning foe. He is a cunning foe. No, he's not embarrassed what he does. He's not ashamed who he does it to. He'll come right in the midst of the sons and daughters of God and he'll start to change the atmosphere. Because he knows once the atmosphere has been changed, he can now start to manifest his characteristics. He can now start to establish his kingdom. And there's not a sufficient atmosphere there among the sons and daughters of God anymore to drive out the darkness. And that's when he starts to establish his things. But friends, no believer born of the Spirit of Christ inside of your soul will ever be satisfied with that. Amen. You'll never accept a condition like that. Amen. He may beat you down. He may bring you low, like the song says, but he'll never bring you down. Amen. He'll never keep you down. Because there's something that's been established inside of your heart. We saw it on Friday. You were born in a certain atmosphere. So when your soul doesn't find that atmosphere anymore, your soul is not at home anymore. Your soul, there's a deep inside of your soul that'll be crying out inside of you saying, the atmosphere is not right anymore. The atmosphere around you is not right anymore. And you'll go and you'll seek the restoration of God inside of your experience. Because the Bible says, he restoreth my soul. He's the restorer of the atmosphere. But we've got to discern the enemy. We've got to recognize there's a from that time. When the atmosphere is not what it used to be, there's a cause. There's a reason. There's a change in your attitude. Because the prophet says your attitude produces the atmosphere. Something's changing yet. Before you used to love to come to the house of God, now you don't want to come anymore. Before you used to love to go and fellowship with the saints, now you don't want to fellowship anymore. You're looking for every excuse not to be there on a Wednesday. Friends, it's not the way that it should be for a believer. That means you need restoration. Because that's not how it was when you first repented. The prophet says you'd be longing for those doors to be opened. But now something's changed in your attitude. And that change in your attitude manifests itself in a change in the atmosphere that's around you. And once the devil has changed that atmosphere, he can start to sow things. He can start to work his work. Because that's what he's done right from the beginning. But when God cast him out of heaven, the prophet says, God determined in himself, he would never allow that in heaven again. Once Satan and his angels and that darkness were overcome by Michael and his angels, and Michael bound that serpent and cast him out, the prophet says God will never allow anything like that to tread his sacred courts again. That's why it's only those that are born again. Only perfect love will enter there. God will never allow anything that defiles into his kingdom again. He allowed it to happen for a purpose, the purpose of redemption, but God will never allow that inside of his courts once again. And friends, once we've been through things like we've gone through in our midst, and you see things trying to destroy an atmosphere, friends, once you come out the other side, you never want to tolerate those things again. Those very things that affected the atmosphere, those very things that worked and brought us to a stage that the light was struggling to cast out the darkness, once God starts giving you grace again, you want to learn your lessons. And you never want to go back and repeat those things again. And you never want to tolerate those things again, what Satan brought into effect the atmosphere. Because we've got to learn from what we've been through. Friends, you don't want to be in a condition that every 6 months the devil brings you back to the same condition again and again and again. Surely we should be learning the lessons. If the devil overcame you in a certain way before, learn the lessons. Yeah. Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. We should be better equipped. Doesn't mean he won't knock you. Doesn't mean you won't lose a battle. But let's learn the lessons from that. Amen. And let's put on the armor of light. Amen. And let's make sure that what we've been through, God allowed us to go through it for a purpose. Let's make sure this next time the devil comes, we're better equipped to face up to him. That you won't let him get the right of way like that. So he needs an atmosphere. He does. That's why he comes down. And what is his name? He's the serpent. And he comes and dwells inside of the serpent and changes the atmosphere in Eden. The name serpent means to charm, to divine, to reveal, to seduce, to pervert. That's what the serpent is. He came to Eve and he saw the atmosphere she was in and he came and he offered her something greater. Some mystery which God hadn't revealed to her. Yeah. Now God wants you to be like him, and you know, there's certain things God is holding back from you. That same serpent will come to you, friends. Amen. And he'll try to say, you need something more. You know, there's not enough in the message. We saw there were some believers who left here. Now they're following some serpent doctrines now. Amen. So they're being seduced and beguiled by it. And friends, you will find it doesn't take long. Watch the atmosphere change in their lives. And then the world starts coming in. And you know, it seems to promise so much. The devil promises us so much. But he doesn't deliver because he's a liar from the beginning. And he promised Eve all of this great something which was greater than what she had. And what did she end up? She ended up defiled and she ended up disgraced. And she ended up losing the very thing that God had established her in. Yet the devil was offering her something far greater. That's the serpent, friends. You be satisfied with what God has given you. You be satisfied with what God has made you. You thank the Lord for what you've got, and He will be faithful to add to what He's given unto you. And the prophet says, if you need anything, God will bring it to you. If we are just faithful and humble and we're faithful to what we've got, we're not trying to be like Eve seeking some new mysterious light and seeking. No, no, no. Whatever God wants us to know, He'll bring it to us, friends. But let's just be faithful with what we've got. Let's be satisfied and let's guard and protect the atmosphere that God gives us with the things that He's entrusted us with. And God will add to that. But Satan came down as the serpent to seduce and to pervert. And it was very effective. Right to the bride of Adam, right in that first Eden. He changed the entire atmosphere. Amen. And death came in and sickness came in and thorns and thistles and all of that. And then the atmosphere changed and everything changed in their lives. And now they couldn't go back to what they used to be. Because they'd listened to the serpent and the promises which he made. He promises great things, friends, but a tree is known by its fruits. Amen. Have a look at the fruits of people who leave this message. Those people who left this message and says that man Branham is false and all those kind of things. Where are they now? Watch them. Watch their lives. We continue on. We continue progressing on as believers. God is continuing to be good to us. But they go out with a flourish. But once the fig leaves start drying up after a little bit of time, you start to see the folly and what they're following. That it was a mistake. But Satan promised them so much. But friends, he delivers so little. And once he's got you in bondage, that's when he shows the real motive and agenda behind what he was trying to do inside of your life. He never shows you the real motive and objective at first. He'll just show you some sort of some thing to allure you. The prophet says it's like a trap. It's like a spider's web. He wants to get you in and then trap you. Then you can't get yourself back. Ah, we need to be careful, friends. We need to be, because there's something so important about the atmosphere. And sin destroys the atmosphere. Amen. Disunity destroys the atmosphere. Unbelief destroys an atmosphere. If you want to know how serious the atmosphere is, look what our sins did to the atmosphere that Jesus lived in. Amen. Imagine, he was the sinless one. He never had a doubt. He never had a worry. He never had a care. Until our sin had to be put upon him. Amen. Then he says, now is my soul troubled nigh unto death. And what shall I say? Father, deliver me from this hour. You think of him, the perfect one who lived in perfect faith. But our sins, look how they changed the atmosphere in his life. And when he was hanging on the cross and he was screaming in the darkness, the 3 hours of darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Imagine that atmosphere. Imagine an atmosphere where he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. Because of the anguish of what he was going through. What caused that, friends? It was your sins and mine. That's what sin did to the atmosphere that Jesus lived in. It totally took away the atmosphere that he was in. And put him into a desolation. Put him into a desperation. Put him into great anguish. And that's what sin does every time. Every single time. Now the devil, he knows that faith and unity create an atmosphere. Amen. And he knows that disunity, division, unbelief, they destroy the atmosphere. Amen. And that is always going to be his prime target in the garden of God. He's always going to focus on that. Friends, he hates to see two brethren dwelling together in unity. Amen. That's why the scripture says, Psalm 133, behold. Hallelujah. The Lord is calling people saying, come and behold. Amen. This is something to behold. Amen. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon. It's like the oil from the head of Aaron's, from his head all the way down to the hems of his garment. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So anything that comes between you and the unity of somebody else, it's the devil. Amen. It's not the person, it's the devil. Because your enemy is not flesh and blood. We're wrestling against powers. We're wrestling against principalities. And Satan uses the most cunning of tactics. Amen. But he's got an aim to break the unity of the saints. To break the atmosphere that believers are living in. Because he can't express himself without creating first some kind of an atmosphere. You know, the prophet speaks about it many, many times. We'll see it. In the leading of the Spirit of God, the prophet is in the prayer line. And he says, I'm not beside myself. But such a feeling to know that right now, right here, stands Jesus. The one who raised from the dead. The one who loves you so much. He's speaking for me now. I've been preaching about him. He's talking now. That's him. Amen. Then he says, excuse me, lady. I didn't mean to leave you. He's going to pray for this lady. I have to follow the way the Spirit leads. Now, here's a dark streak coming from a woman to another one. What is it? It's a devil. He knows his time has come. The woman here, you're extremely nervous, aren't you, lady? Just hysterically nervous. Can you put the slides there, please, sister? I just got a couple of slides to put some simple pictures, just to try to just show some simple pictures. If you can go to the first one, please, sister. This one's not clicking. So let's say you take somebody as an individual. If you go to the next one, yeah. If you take somebody as an individual. So there you are, your body, soul, and your spirit. We might just look at that which is seen. We just see a person. We might see a manifestation in the characteristics of that person. They may be nervous. The prophet says, this person was hysterically nervous. He actually says about her, he says, you hysterically nervous. I see you trying to do things, but you just can't. You're just nervous, mental nervous. Satan told you that you were going to lose your mind if you didn't get over it, but he's lied to you. So what was behind her? Go to the next one, please. There's a dark shadow. There's a power of darkness. Somehow this darkness has managed to come into her atmosphere. Somehow in her life, in her spiritual realm, inside of the realm around her soul, her spirit, there's a darkness that has managed to come in, and it's manifesting itself in a certain way. It's manifesting itself as extreme nervousness. It's an influence in her atmosphere. She doesn't have an atmosphere of peace anymore. She doesn't have an atmosphere of well-being anymore. But she wants to be well, but she can't. She wants to relax. Maybe people are telling her, take it easy, relax, get next to yourself. But she can't do it because something's come into that atmosphere. Something has found a way in. Because there's always a from that time. Somehow the enemy managed to come in. And the prophet says, Satan has told you that you were going to lose your mind if you didn't get over it. So this being is speaking to her inside of her spiritual realm. And telling her, you're going to lose your mind. And she's just thinking to herself, I'm going to lose my mind. Not realizing that's not her. That's the devil speaking to her. And what is the way for her to overcome? Is she's got to get in another atmosphere. Amen. She's got to get in an atmosphere that paralyzes that enemy. Amen. She's got to get in an atmosphere of light. Because light always overcomes the darkness. Amen. Darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. Amen. Light overcomes the darkness every single time. Amen. There's never been a time that darkness overcame light. No. Whenever you turn on the light, darkness is overcome. Amen. And that's why the Lord leads her into this meeting and the prophet's there. And now the great light is there. God is light and in him is no darkness. And you shall know the truth. The truth is the light. And the truth shall set you free. If you've got darkness in your life, you need the light of the truth. The devil will try to keep you in the darkness. He'll try to keep you in that condition. But this lady here, God had led her to the right place because she was a daughter of God. Then the prophet says, that little lady is sitting right there, second one and right back there, somebody else. She's bothered with nervousness too. Isn't that right, ladies? See what I mean? Put the next slide, please, sister. The prophet saw it like that. There was the lady sitting down in the audience, and here was the lady standing in the prayer line. And the prophet saw a darkness going between them. A darkness going backwards and forwards between them. And then he says, she's bothered with the nervousness too. Isn't that right? This demon knows that if that woman will halfway believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I'm his prophet, that'll have to leave her. And that demon was calling to that one for help. To help to accumulate unbelief. Yes. What is an accumulation of unbelief? You're accumulating darkness. Yes. Satan could sense the atmosphere of faith. He could sense the atmosphere in this woman's heart rising up when she came into that great presence of this great light. Satan could feel, I'm losing grip. Because the darkness is being driven out by the light. So he cries out for help to the other darkness, which isn't far from him, saying, create some unbelief, create some unbelief. Yes. Friends, that's why the prophet says, you bring up people when they don't get healed. You know what it is? It's unbelief. Sometimes not that person only, but in the midst of the congregation. Because the devil's brought some doubts, he's brought disunity, he's brought all kinds of things. And then when this person, they're about to be delivered, the spirit in this person cries out for help. Generate some unbelief. Generate some darkness. And the atmosphere is not sufficient. The light is not strong enough in that place. The atmosphere is not sufficient to cast out the enemy. But friends, if you and I could set our hearts together today and could determine that we're tired of the devil, we got tired of any prayer that hasn't been answered, and we could unite our faith and our hearts with one motive and one objective today, everyone will receive what they desire today. Today. But there's something between us and that glory land. There's something between us and the fullness of that manifestation of the glory of God. And it's this darkness. It's these shadows of darkness. It's these workings that come to divide and the workings that come to create unbelief and to weigh people down and get people to question and wonder and all that. We've got to overcome these things. No, we've got to face up to these things and cast them out. Amen. We've got to use the whole armor, the armor of light that Paul said of, to conquer this darkness. Hallelujah. We have to. That's what we said on Friday. He said, you may not think that you need it, but for one of these days, your child's going to be critically sick and he's going to need God to move on the scene. Amen. And that's when you're going to wish that, I wish I'd created a better atmosphere. Amen. I wish I hadn't said this about sister so-and-so, or said this about brother so-and-so, or backbit somebody else in the church. You're going to wish then that you had created a better atmosphere. Because you don't realize how important the atmosphere is until you need it. Amen. Until you need God to manifest himself there and then, in a present tense situation, that needs an atmosphere. Amen. And that's what the prophet was saying there. It says that demon was calling to that one for help. For to help to accumulate unbelief. But he's lost the battle. Sure he has. Faith is gathering. Faith is light, friends. Faith produces an atmosphere. And Satan hates that atmosphere. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's where faith comes from. When you allow him to speak to you, you don't allow the devil to speak to you, but you allow the Most High to speak to you, it's going to generate faith inside of yourself. And these demons knew, sorry, go back, sister. That demon knew that this faith was becoming unconquerable. The atmosphere was becoming so great, this demon knew, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do. I'm going to have to leave this place. And if you continue to listen to the message, the demon leaves the place. And this to me is a great answer. Whenever people want to bring up the issues of science and all that kind of stuff, I will just take it back to this. I say, let science explain this. Right. Let science explain this. You can listen to it on the message. You can listen to the people. The prophet will be saying, is that true, sister? She'll be crying, saying it's the truth. And then he'll be calling out to the other lady over there. Science is fine in its own realm, but it doesn't understand the supernatural. Right. And man has a very, very huge importance of knowing about the supernatural. Because you are a supernatural being just as much as you are a natural being. That's why, friends, we should endeavor as believers, as we finish this year, going into the new year, to say, Lord, if I'm going to make a resolution for this year, if you'll help me, I never want to be guilty of reinforcing the darkness in somebody else's life.
Amen.
I never.
Yes.
I want to be an instrument to bring light into someone's darkness. Amen. I don't ever want to be guilty of reinforcing somebody else's darkness. These demons, that's one saying, help me, reinforce me. And friends, sometimes when you get the devil in our lives as well, we go looking around the church for people to reinforce that darkness.
Amen.
When we've got a critical spirit, we look for people with a critical spirit. And if you're not careful, those two people coming together, it's exactly this.
Amen.
Those spirits are reinforcing each other.
Amen.
That's how we have to be very careful what we listen to.
Amen.
Eve made that mistake. She listened to the wrong thing. And look what it did to her. That took her out of that atmosphere. Because friends, we're dealing with the devil. What is his other name? Satan. Satan is his name. Satan. Satanus. From the Hebrew noun Satan. The verb Satan, the doing word, the action word, means to oppose or to thwart anyone in his purposes or his claims. So these names express the characteristics, the attributes of the devil.
Amen.
When his name is Satan, he's the opposer. That's who he is. He's the adversary. That's what Peter called him. Your adversary, the devil.
Amen.
He's against you. And what is he trying to achieve? To oppose or thwart anyone in his purpose. So if you've got a purpose this week to seek God, Satan's going to oppose you. If you've got a desire this week, you want to get up early in the morning to pray, don't expect it to be so easy because you've got an adversary. That's his name and that's what he does. His name is Satan. He's the opposer. He's going to try to frustrate your purpose. Ah, friends, sometimes to get an amen from people is hard. Sometimes when you're preaching against the devil and people keep quiet, you'll be saying, what's going on? Are people agreeing with the devil? Are we sympathizing with the devil or what? Surely, friends, I want to give my witness against the devil.
Amen.
So when something comes against the devil, I want to say amen. The prophet says saying amen is sick him.
Amen.
He said when you would corner that raccoon or that skunk or whatever, as I'd say to my dog, sick him.
Yes.
And the dog would go, and the prophet, that's what amen does.
Amen.
It's like saying sick him.
Yes.
Get him. We've got him on the run. Friends, it's good Hallelujah. To take advantage of that.
Amen.
Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about your light bills. Don't worry about how much fuel you've got in your tank. You can't do anything about it while you're sitting here.
Amen.
Sort it out after we get out of this place. But while you're here, focus on the most important thing, which is the atmosphere inside of your own life. Focus on it. But Satan will try to get your mind here and your mind then get people to sleep in that. That's this darkness, friends, sitting on you. Don't pay attention to him. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't give him an opportunity like that. So Satan means to oppose or to thwart anyone in his purpose. Satan is the one that contends with, that opposes and resists God, his people, and his purposes. That's who the devil is. Have you not felt that? Did you not feel it last week? I felt it last week.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes you get up in the day, there's an oppression, there's a heaviness. There's something that wants to make you feel blue and make you feel down. Now there's two ways we can handle that. One, you can either give in to it. Or the second thing you can say, this is not my inheritance. I wasn't born again to live this kind of a life. I wasn't born again to submit myself to this kind of a gloomy spirit. But the problem is sometimes we go looking for disciples. Oh, I'm feeling so bad today. Oh, even me. Oh, I wonder if it's worthwhile being a believer. It's these darknesses speaking to each other. You've got to recognize it's the devil trying to destroy your atmosphere. So the Bible says resist him. Resist him in the faith. That's what Peter is telling us. Don't give in to these things. And you find it doesn't take much. You resist him, then he's gone. Then you say, but where did that feeling go? Where did that depression go? Where did that oppression go? The problem is sometimes we sympathize with it because we don't know that it's the devil. The devil doesn't tell us that it's him. You'll think, oh, maybe I'm getting a cold, or maybe this, that, or the other. Friends, many, many times it's a spiritual warfare because the enemy can see you are making progress. The enemy can see that the atmosphere is changing. He's not going to leave it like that. You find these months gone by, you could see the atmosphere changing so much in church. Yeah. Satan doesn't leave it like that, friends. He's not going to be happy, so you're going to find he's going to attack and it's going to start going down again. And then we've got to respond as the sons and daughters of God and say, I'm not accepting that. I don't want things to go back to where they were. I want things to go all the way into glory land. And we've got to resist and put on the whole armor of God. Friends, we're called as soldiers. We're called to put on military apparel. That's when you don't even want to come to Wednesday service. How are we going to have an atmosphere when most people don't even want to come? Ah, friends, I don't understand that. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. We should be together generating an atmosphere. Because what you do on a Wednesday will help you on a Friday. What you do on a Friday will help us on the Sunday. And what we do today, let's continue on Wednesday. Let's continue. Let's go into the dedication services. Brother Crosby's going to be here over Christmas. But friends, it starts here now. And Satan doesn't want that momentum. Now he wants us to be thinking of all these other things. He's very clever in what he does. Satan is an opportunist. The first time the word Satan is mentioned in the New Testament is Matthew 4. When Satan came to Jesus at his weak point when he was hungry. He always comes at your weak point. Don't forget it, saints. He doesn't come when all is well. But he comes at your weak point, and then you need something to kick in to say, I remember last time it was like this. I remember the same feeling, I've had it before. This isn't for my good. This isn't going to lead me anywhere good. I need to rise up now. I need to sense and discern in its early stages this kind of a working inside of my atmosphere. And then you put on your whole armor. You gird up your loins. Maybe you need to fast because certain demons are only cast out by fasting and prayer. There's certain darkness, friends, that you've got to focus yourself. You've got to put on an armor. You've got to really consecrate yourself. Put all of your spiritual attention against it to break that power. Sometimes it doesn't go that easily. These are stubborn spirits. That's why Satan will always attack you at your weak point. Now you need to learn. I need to learn. What is my weak point? Where has he attacked me before? Let me go back and examine the battle campaigns of the past where he's waged warfare against me. Let us as a church look and see, where did Satan try to get us? Let's learn lessons from that. Where was our weak point? How did he manage to get into the garden of God? How did he manage to break down the atmosphere the way that he did? We've got to learn. Because if you don't learn from history, you're going to repeat the same mistakes. You're going to get overcome the next time as well. And next time it may be even more severe than the last time. So we need to learn from these things of the past. And the moment we start seeing those same conditions coming again, we need to rise up. We need to rise up. We need to discern this is the hand of the enemy. But this time it's going to be different. This time he's not going to do what he did the last time. And he came to Jesus. Then Jesus overcame him. And the Bible says he departed for a season. He didn't depart permanently. He went and he waited again. And he tried to find his opportunity. And friends, today, put it down in your memory. Satan is looking for the opportunity in your life. He's studying you like he studied Job. He's considering you like he considered Job. He's looking at who you are and how he's worked before. He's looking at your makeup. He's looking at the weaknesses in the armor that he found before. And friends, if he comes back this time and you haven't reinforced those areas, he's going to overcome you again. Because that's the kind of enemy, but he departs for a season. And there's always a from that time. There's always a starting point. If you find your atmosphere has changed, there was a starting point. There was a certain something that took place to change your atmosphere. It may have been a sequence of events, but it had a starting point. There was a certain place that he got a foothold. There was a certain place that you gave ear. There was a certain place that he got in. And your atmosphere started to change. And maybe you didn't discern it then, because maybe you were so busy at college, so busy at work, so busy at home, so many other things. You just thought, maybe I'm just tired these days. And you don't realize that you're losing strength. And you don't realize how the atmosphere is changing. And then he brings the big challenge now, like with Samson. And then Samson says, let me shake myself like before. And you don't know that the Lord's departed. You find it's not there anymore. Friends, you don't want to be in that situation too many times as a Christian. Because this enemy, he hates us. He wants to destroy you. That's what he wants. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your life if he can. That's what he is. And he's the opposer. He's the adversary, the devil. What about Sister Nellie Sanders?
Yes.
That's the mistake that she made.
Yes, right.
She just stopped and listened to the wrong thing.
Amen.
That old darkness that used to have in captivity, that dancing and that music and that lasciviousness that she used to give herself over to. Then Christ came with a light and delivered her from the kingdom of darkness. And then she was walking past the dance hall. Then she heard the old music once again. That same darkness that had her in bondage before. The prophet says it in Greatest Battle. There's where she made her mistake. She stopped for a moment. And many believers, if you ask yourself, you stopped for a moment and you listened to the wrong thing. You stopped for a moment and you fellowshipped with the wrong person. And from that time, the atmosphere started to change inside of your life. There was a starting point. But she had sense enough, more than many people. The moment she went into the dance hall and the moment she fell into that man's arms and that darkness, that demon came back into her. She ran to the prophet. She ran for help because she sensed straight away the atmosphere's changed. Something's come in. And she went to the prophet and the prophet was there and she came in the taxi and she came inside and she was crying, "Oh, Brother Bill, is there any hope for me?" And the prophet said, "What happened?" She said, "I went up there in the dance hall." And then the prophet says, "Okay, we've been given a commission to cast out evil spirits."
Yeah,
and he prayed for her. And then that spirit like a bat came out and everybody saw it in the room. And the door started pumping backwards and forwards. Friends, that was the darkness. She stopped and she gave ear. And the old darkness came in once again. And then she found herself in a bondage to the same thing she used to be in bondage to. But friends, she had wisdom to flee with her life. She didn't go and seek a disciple to say, "You know, well, maybe it's not so bad watching some of these things." And you know, she didn't do that. She realized, this is darkness that I've allowed once again inside of my life. This has defiled me inside of my spirit. This has defiled the atmosphere inside of my life. And friends, God cannot work in a defiled atmosphere. When you defile your atmosphere, God cannot work. The only thing He'll work is conviction of your sin. His Spirit will come right through that defilement to convict you of what you've done. But it needs repentance. And the prophet says sometimes it needs consecration to purge yourself, to get rid of that defilement out of your life once again. And then it brings it back to the right atmosphere. But that was the fruits of listening to the wrong thing. And you'll always see it inside of your life. You'll know, "I listened to the wrong thing." How? By the fruits in your life. You'll see it. No more vision. Look at John in prison. The atmosphere changed. John used to have an atmosphere. He'd say, "He who's coming is far greater, mightier than I. His fan is in his hand. I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. He'll gather the wheat into his garner, burn the chaff with unquenchable fire." And then there's another atmosphere when he's in the prison. Yeah? He's got into another atmosphere and he's lost the vision. And he's saying, "Are you the one to come or should we look for another?" But he did well. He put his petition to Jesus. And the truth was ministered back to him. "And you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free."
Amen.
And that set him free. He sought for help because his vision had been dimmed. And friend, when you find yourself sitting and doubting, you find yourself sitting and considering things that you didn't used to consider, there's a from that time.
Hallelujah.
There was a starting point. There's some place the enemy came in. And you need to learn from that campaign because next time it might be more severe. You need to discern and learn that lesson and say, "Okay, I need to be careful next time. I need to be careful when I start thinking down this certain kind of a line." It's like we were saying with Brother Will the other day. The prophet says sometimes you get so tired until you get discouraged and the devil takes advantage. We wear ourselves out. We get involved in too many things. We're not feeding our souls. We're not waiting upon the Lord. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." But the Bible says, "Even the youth shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." But they that wait upon the Lord. That we get so busy, even sometimes in the things of God, in genuine things. Like somebody says, you're taking from your foundation to build your roof. Be careful, your building's not going to last long. You've got to be getting fresh resources to do your building. Don't take from one part of your building to build the other part of your building. You need to wait upon the Lord. And the prophet says, that's when discouragement comes in, and that's an atmosphere. Discouragement is an atmosphere. Darkness is coming now. And then he starts speaking to you. And he starts saying to you, but is it worth it? After all the things that you do, does anybody appreciate what you do? That's what it did to the prophet. And the prophet started to think, now let me go and live in Alaska. You know, when the Lord wants me, I'll come out from there, drive 1,500 miles and go back again whenever he wants me. But friends, it happens to everybody. It happened to Elijah. Amen. Elijah said, I'm no better than my father's. Lord, take my life. That was discouragement. That was an atmosphere. Because the prophet says he had pushed himself. And sometimes after your greatest victory, be careful. Because after the mountaintop, there comes a valley. And that's the time Satan likes to come and speak to you. That's when he takes an advantage. But let's learn from these things. Let's learn from Satan's work in the past and our experience so that we defend ourselves and put on the armor and realize, no, I don't want to make the same mistake again. I don't want to give him any kind of a victory. Now, Satan obviously fears the light. Brother Richard Blair, I've read it before from another message, but he wanted to renounce the prophet, yeah? Brother Blair. And listen how the prophet says, and then does God change his mind? He says, Richard is your name. How many knows Richard Blair? How many knows him to be a servant of God? He comes from the group of United Pentecostal Church. Brother Blair, I remember a great calling of his. I remember the time when Brother Blair didn't want to believe me. Because that there was a spirit working with him, telling him I was false. Atheism is a demon from hell. It's a demon that speaks to somebody and says there's no God. Yet that same demon knows there's a God. That's why Satan's a liar. Satan's not an atheist. He knows well enough there's a God. He knows well enough he was at creation. He knows it didn't come through evolution. That's a devil speaking to you if you're an atheist. It's a darkness that you've allowed inside of your life. And it comes and it creates an atmosphere of criticism and darkness and unbelief. Ah, friends, it's nothing worse than that. Because if you die in that condition, your soul is damned. Because you're not a child of the light, you're a child of the darkness. And you go to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. But Satan is not an atheist, friends. He knows well enough. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. He knows, but he'll come to you because he knows that you're given to certain things and he'll wait for you to get to a low point and there's a wrong atmosphere in your life. Then he comes and starts whispering to you. Is there really a God? You prayed, but did he ever answer you? Those are the kind of things that he says. Be careful of that. Because the fruits of that kind of an atmosphere are not going to be sweet inside of your life.
That's right.
It's not going to work out well. Just like with Brother Blair, there was an agenda. Don't forget, every spirit has an agenda. The Holy Ghost has an agenda. Every time he comes to you, there's a purpose. He's trying to move you along in a journey. He's trying to bring you to a certain destination. Exactly the same as the devil. The devil has an agenda. He's trying to get you to a certain place. And friends, where he wants to get you isn't the right kind of a place that you want to go. And he was trying to work something. Go to the next one, please, sister. Just leave it on the next one. He was trying to work something in the life of Brother Blair. The prophet says there was a spirit working with him. And that spirit says, there was a spirit working with him, telling him that I was false. And while he was sitting right in the meeting, the Holy Spirit turned around and called it out.
Amen.
That's the light.
Amen.
The light comes to dispel the darkness.
Amen.
The light conquers the darkness every time. And his word is light. His anointed word is light. That's where our victory is, friends.
Yes.
Victory, revelation gives you prevailing power.
Amen.
The prophet says the devil hates revelation because it exposes him. It shows his agenda. It shows what he's trying to achieve. But we love revelation, the prophet says. Because with it in our lives, we will prevail. Because the gates of hell cannot prosper against them that are born in the kingdom of light.
Amen.
He may shake you around a little bit, but he'll never prosper. Amen. He'll never prosper. The prophet says the Holy Spirit turned around and called it out. And he was just about ready for a breakdown. A nervous breakdown. A breakdown in his health as well. The devil knew this man in his physical being and his spiritual being. He's just about at the verge. He just needs a little something to push him over. And that demon came inside there and knew, I've got to keep this man away from that gift. I've got to keep this man away from that commission that's in that prophet. He knew it, the devil. There was an agenda in what he was doing. He wasn't saying these things to Brother Blair for nothing. He knew exactly what he was saying. Because that demon had many of his compadres, yeah? His compatriots cast out. So many of them. The prophet, somebody showed me the quote the other day. The prophet was in a prayer line. And he was casting out a demon. And he said, this same spirit, he cast that same spirit out sometime back in another meeting. That same spirit. Some of those spirits were cast out more than once. But that's the agenda, friends. And he was trying to work on Brother Blair to bring unbelief. Because unbelief creates an atmosphere of darkness. And in that darkness, Satan knew, I can kill him in that. Take his life in that condition. And God's grace, the light came and called him out.
Amen.
He was just about ready for a breakdown. And that's what got him in that shape. What got him right to the point of almost breaking himself down? What got him to that nervousness of almost having a breakdown? Was darkness. Was an atmosphere. Somehow it had got into his life along the way. Maybe a disappointment along the way. Discouragement, whatever it was. But the devil took an advantage because he's an opportunist. And he stepped into the atmosphere in that man's life and was about to take the man's life. But he knew, what I've got to do is keep this man away from that prophet. And the Holy Ghost called him out. The prophet says, I remember his lovely wife calling me one day and she said, Brother Branham, I believe Richard is going to die. She had, I believe, a scarf and she went and laid it on him and asked her and prayed and here he is.
Amen.
And God raised him up and he became a message believer. But that's darkness, friends. And there's a lot of this darkness in the message now.
Amen.
There's a lot of critical spirits. There's a lot of false theologians, a lot of false apostles. There's a lot of these things in the message and they have an agenda. They'll promise you great things, but the agenda is to destroy your faith in the very thing you need to believe in this age. The very thing that God has sent as the everything we need to overcome. He wants to get you to doubt it. And friends, once you start doubting, be careful. That's the devil speaking to you. So Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, your adversary, the devil. An adversary comes from law. The word is antidikos. It means against a cause or suit at law. It was first used as a word as an opponent in a lawsuit. So he's saying your enemy, the devil, is your opponent in the lawsuit.
Amen.
He's the accuser. It means one who is actively and continuously hostile towards someone. That's what an adversary is. Is that not true?
Amen.
The devil is actively and continuously hostile against you. Amen. He's actively and continuously hostile against me.
Amen.
And we've got to remember that, friends. That's how when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like praying. You wake up in the morning and you don't want to even listen to a message. You leave your Bible somewhere and it gathers dust. Be careful.
Amen.
Be careful.
Amen.
You may think things are just staying the way they are. They're not. Satan is actively and continuously hostile against you. And he's looking for an opportunity. So he's our adversary, the devil. Now the devil, diabolos. It comes from the word meaning to throw or to cast between. So he puts things between. The devil, it means a slanderer. He's called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12.
Amen.
That's what he is.
Yes.
This is the word devil. Now there is the devil with a capital D. Yeah? But there's just the word devil in the Bible. And the word devil applies to many different situations, including people. Because any slanderer in the Bible is called a devil.
Amen.
That act of slandering somebody is called diabolos. Just that act, that verb, that doing word. When you slander somebody, it's the same word as the devil. A devil is a false accuser, a slanderer, one who utters false charges or misrepresentations which defame or damage another's reputation. Yay, yay, yay. That's what a devil is. The word devil means one who utters false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. Every one of us now should be thinking of how we're going to repent before the Lord at the end of the service. Every single one of us now should be saying, I have been a devil in my behavior. Not in my soul, but in my behavior. Because I've actively sought, I've misrepresented things. I've tried to damage somebody else's reputation. That's the devil, friends. It was the devil from the beginning, and it's the devil today, and it's going to be the devil till the end. Amen. This is the works of the devil. And why are we speaking about this? Because this is the greatest thing that destroys an atmosphere. Amen. If you want something to destroy the atmosphere, it's this kind of devil. Amen. It's this kind of working that we need to wage warfare against. Amen. And like I said, in the courts of heaven, Jehovah said, I will never allow that spirit in my courts again. And in this church, we will never allow that spirit in this church again. And if somebody comes and wants to fellowship with that spirit, you're going to be in a lot of trouble in this church. Because that's the spirit that put us in the trouble we were. Is this spirit. We need to wage warfare against it, friends. We need to wage warfare. So this word devil first means a false accuser. It also means the word backbiting. Whenever you see in English, in the English Bible, it says, backbiting, it's the word diabolos. See, the word devil is an attribute, a characteristic of that being called the devil. That's one of his characteristics. But we can show the same characteristics. And then we're behaving like the devil. We're in league with the devil. We're listening to that spirit which is making us do these things. And friends, we need to look back at the campaign we've just come through as a church. And we need to see how Satan almost got us to a place that was going to break things completely. Amen. And it was this spirit. Amen. It was this darkness. It was this working of the enemy that did it. Amen. And anybody who has any love for the kingdom of God now should be resolving inside of themselves that I'm going to be militant against this for the rest of my life. Amen. I'm never going to compromise with this thing from now until kingdom come. I will never compromise with this spirit again. Because the welfare of your soul, the welfare of your children, the welfare of brothers and sisters in this church depends on that. Amen. Because as we start to build the atmosphere back to where it should be, so we can see the full glory of God, this is the one the devil used to destroy the atmosphere. Amen. This one being the devil. Backbiting means malicious comments about one who is not present. Yay. Some people's faces are going red. Some people's ears are burning. And friends, we should all repent of that. Whenever you say something malicious about someone and they're not there, you in league with the devil. You're in league with the devil. You're going to absolutely destroy an atmosphere. There's something influencing you. Why are you feeling like that towards that person? The Bible says, he that hates his brother is in darkness. Yes. John says it. Amen. He that hates his brother is yet in darkness. Amen. You may know every quote, you may quote all the seven seals, you may quote every church age and messenger, but you're still in darkness. Yes. Because this is the characteristic of darkness. Backbiting, slander, false accusation. That's the devil. Amen. That's how he's established his kingdom right from the beginning. Right down into Eden, right down through the Old Testament church ages, right through the New Testament church ages. This has been the enemy of the sons and daughters of God. This has been the greatest enemy against the atmosphere that brings down the glory of God, is this kind of a thing. So it's a false statement, a malicious. What is the word malicious? For those who don't understand English, malicious means you've got an evil intent. It means your motive, you don't like somebody. So you're saying, you may even say the truth about somebody, but if you've got the wrong motive, it's the devil.
Amen.
If you know something about somebody, why are you going broadcasting it somewhere else? Do you want someone to do that to you?
No.
So why do you do it to other people? Friends, these are the lies of the devil, friends. And this is what he brought into the early church. This is what he tries to bring in every church when the atmosphere is good. And this is what destroys the atmosphere.
Amen.
Diabolos. One who utters malicious false statements. One given to malicious gossip. And it's not only sisters who gossip, it's brothers who gossip as well.
Amen.
One thing I've learned by experience, when sisters gossip, it's small issues. When brothers gossip, it's big issues. It's true. When brothers gossip, it's real gossip. It's devilish gossip. But sisters, it's just petty gossip. But it's still just the devil. So many times recently, I've said that in different situations. When people have wanted to tell me about things, I said, please, that's got nothing to do with me. That's got nothing to do with us. It's got nothing to do with our church. Don't tell me those things. I don't want to know about those things.
Amen.
I don't want to know the bad news in Belfast. I don't want to know the bad news in Congo. I don't want to know the bad news in Lithuania. I don't want to know those things. Why do I want to know those things? Does it help my faith? Does it help your faith? Does it build the right atmosphere? It doesn't. Let's stay away from those things.
Amen.
Let's be our brother's keeper. When somebody else starts saying those things, start saying, brother, don't say those things.
Amen.
Let's not speak about that. Negative things, friends. It's the devil. It's that darkness there. You've allowed that atmosphere in your life. You've let down your guard. Something's come in as influencing you. No matter what somebody says positive, you just want to answer back negative. Where is that negative energy coming from?
Amen.
Where's that feeling coming from? It's coming from somewhere. You didn't used to have it.
Amen.
But you've allowed a spirit into your life. You've allowed a spirit to influence you. And the more you yield to that spirit and obey what it's leading you to do, the more of a grip it gets inside of your life. Oh, friends, I've seen it. I've seen it. There's nothing worse than believers and the lies they can tell about each other.
Amen.
We had somebody who came to this church. Brother Max came and preached at Sunday school, yeah? And that person phoned me that day and said, Brother Max preached false doctrine at the Sunday school. So I said, I don't know that. Let me get the Sunday school. I contacted Brother Virgus the next day. I said, Brother Virgus, can you please send me the Sunday school? We had recorded. I listened twice. Brother Max preached nothing but the truth.
Amen.
I'd sent back minutes and seconds from that message, quotes to that person saying he didn't preach anything wrong. That person left this church, went to another church. And last week I heard, he's telling people in that church, those people there, what they did is they took the message and they spliced the message. They took a section out of the message where he had preached false doctrine. That's the devil, friends.
Amen.
That's the devil.
That's right.
You may have been in the message 75 years, but you're still in darkness when you do those things.
Amen.
Ah, friends, those are disappointing things. When they, you'll never believe it. Someone will be able to quote after quote after quote after quote, yeah? But what kind of a spirit is influencing them?
Right.
And you be together with those kinds of people, everything they say is negative. Everything is negative. They pull down the pastor. They pull down the ministers. They pull down the deacons. They pull down the parents and not bringing up their children the right way. It's this.
Amen.
They need to repent of this.
Amen.
That person's not our enemy. They could be a precious brother or precious sister, but they've given themselves over to this darkness for too long.
Amen.
And the problem is they find disciples. And other people won't really know who they are. We knew from the beginning who that believer was. Because they've been seven or eight different message churches. They never survive long in a message church. Because they end up criticizing everything in that church. And then they came here and then they try to find disciples now. They try to find people that they can get together. You see the darkness? If you go back to that slide, please, sister, of the two with the darkness. The spirit of criticism on one person. It's going to be searching for the spirit of criticism on another person. And then you find there's a clique now. And the people are reinforcing that darkness.
Amen.
It is no basis to it most of the time. Let's be honest, friends. And what we went through as a church, when we investigated all the things that had been said, there were certain things where foolish things were said. Certain things where people had to repent and say sorry and apologize. But the vast majority of what caused our problem, there was no basis to it.
That's right. Amen.
There was no reality. There was no fact. It was somebody told somebody and they believed that. And then it went further. There were certain things that had to be created, certain things that had to be done. But when I look back, I said, you know, most of this was just the devil.
Hallelujah.
Just bringing division among precious Amen. Brothers and sisters. Amen. Most of it was just the devil doing his work. The vast majority of what caused our atmosphere to get to where it was just the devil. And there was not much basis. Or it was taking something small and making it far bigger than it really was. And making it appear to be that. It's so easy to do it, friends. We all do it. That's why diabolos. It means not only those who bring a false charge against somebody. Yeah? It's not only you're falsely accusing someone, but also those who disseminate the truth concerning a man and do so maliciously. That's just as much the devil. For you to tell a lie against someone or for you to tell the truth with the wrong motive, it's just as much the same spirit. It's just as wrong, the one thing and the other. There's certain things people don't need to know. There's certain things. Why are you saying those things? That was the big thing that we saw. There were certain people far too free to speak a lot of things in places they shouldn't have been said.
Amen.
Or to people that couldn't bear the things that were said.
Right.
And like I say, on these battles, friends, we need to learn. We need to look back and see, where did we make our mistakes?
Amen.
Where did the devil gain entrance? Where did he get in to destroy our atmosphere? And that was one of the main ones, was that. Was one of the main things. That's why the word devil, as we come to a close, it means to throw between. Someone who constantly throws between, seeking to divide.
Amen.
So when you'll see people have a real sweet fellowship, yeah? And then they go and visit somebody else, and all of a sudden after that, there's no more sweet fellowship. The devil's been involved there now.
Amen.
He's thrown something between to divide. Something's been said, something's been insinuated. And before, two people used to fellowship together. Now they don't fellowship anymore. Sometimes it's a genuine basis. Don't get me wrong. But so many times, if those two people would just get together and sit down and talk, you'll find there wasn't much substance there. It was the devil. But the prophet says, when those situations happen, he says, don't tell anybody. He says, you go to the person yourself. And if you do that, friends, it's going to overcome a lot of problems.
Amen.
That when you hear brother so-and-so said this about you, or sister so-and-so, don't tell anybody else. Because you know what you're doing? You're just accumulating darkness now.
Yes.
Because you grieved, you've allowed the enemy into your atmosphere, now you're going to give it to your wife. Because there's a transference in that atmosphere.
Amen.
This darkness will move onto somebody else. And then you get together with people and you start speaking about that. What are you doing? The darkness is accumulating now. Because that influence isn't just on two of you anymore. Now it's on five of you. Even if it's true, that's not the right way to do it.
Amen.
What's the right way? Phone that person. Can I come and see you? Sit down. Brother, sister, I understand. Is it true that you said this? Brother, I don't want problems between you and me. And the light shines into the darkness. And the light always overcomes the darkness. And then you find it. Brother, I never said it like that. Oh, brother, I'm very sorry. I didn't mean it. I shouldn't have said what I said. And you finish the problem.
Amen.
And the devil's been cast out.
Amen.
And the atmosphere's the way that it's supposed to be.
Amen.
But that was our big mistake. Everybody went to everybody else except for to the person involved. There's nothing that believers cannot overcome if they sit down one with another.
Amen.
Nothing.
Right.
There's nothing in heaven, hell, or
Amen.
Earth that genuine born-again believers, if they desire to sort it out, is not going to be sorted out. It'll be sorted out.
Amen.
But the devil will try to get you to do everything else except for the right thing,
Amen.
Which is to go and sit and speak to that person. I so appreciate people who phone me. Or contact me after service and say, were you preaching against me? I like that. That's the way you overcome the devil.
Right.
If somebody says to you, brother, I think you're preaching against me, it's very good. That's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
If you have an ill feeling or if you feel some suspicion, say, oh, he's preaching against me. What's the best way to overcome it? Come and sit down. Say, brother, I don't want anything bad between us. Were you preaching against me? And then I explain to you. We sit, we fellowship, and we leave, and we're happy with one another once again. And the devil's got a black eye, and he's got a bloody nose. That's what it is.
Amen.
That's the right way to do it. Let the light come into the darkness. Because Satan's always throwing things between. That's what his name means, the devil. It means to throw between. To bring a doubt, to bring a division. You know, we had a sister came here. She's not here now. And I contacted her and said, "Sister, what's going on?" And she said, "I used to come to church and there were certain sisters that really, really used to so much be friendly with me. But I can see their faces are evil against me these days." And I asked her, I said, "Tell me the name of those sisters." And she told me. I said, "That's not true." I said, "I'm sure if you go and sit down with those three sisters, maybe they got problems, maybe they're under pressure, but I'm sure, I know those sisters have nothing against you." And she didn't do it. Then in her experience, it became a big issue. The sisters in the church don't love me anymore, and she doesn't come for fellowship anymore. Can you see what the devil's done? That was the devil speaking to her. Throwing between. And what was God's provided way? She should have gone and spoke to those people. And maybe each of those sisters would have said, "Sister, we love you. There's nothing between us. I've had problems at home with my husband. I haven't been feeling well," whatever. That's the way that I, that's why I've been quite quiet these days. But you'll find out the real reason. You'll find out the truth. And the truth will set you free. Diabolos, 34 times in the Bible, speaks of Satan, yeah? It also means, let's read this before we close. 2 Timothy 3, verse 3. We find the same word devil in this chapter and this verse. 2 Timothy 3, verse 3. Paul is speaking about in the last days, perilous times will come.
Amen.
And these are the conditions of the perilous times.
Amen.
He says people will be without natural affection. There'll be truth breakers. There'll be devils.
Amen.
That's the word devil. False accuser.
Mm-hmm.
People will be devils. That's a literal translation. People will be devilish gossips. That's what it says in another translation. A false accuser is the devil.
Amen.
Friends, if I've done wrong, I'll be more than happy to repent. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. But friends, there's nothing I hate more than false accusation.
Amen.
When somebody goes to somebody and says, "Do you know the pastor hates you and doesn't want you in the church?" Do you think I could ever hate somebody and not want? That's the devil.
Amen.
Why would you hate somebody? Even if you disagree with somebody, you'll never hate somebody as a believer.
Amen.
But that's the devil trying to create a bad atmosphere.
Amen.
Oh, friends, it's sad when you hear those kind of things. You'll never. How can you? How could you come and stand in front of the sons and daughters of God if you hate somebody?
Amen.
You'll never hate somebody.
Amen.
The only one you hate is the devil because of what he does. And you hate sin because of what it is. But you would never do. But friends, Satan does these things.
That's right.
Somebody will leave church. You're going to ask him, "Why did you leave church?" Say, "Oh, don't worry about me. What about you?" The pastor hates you. That's true.
That's right.
That's the devil.
Amen.
That's absolutely the attributes of the devil. That's what he does. On genuine brothers and sisters, precious saints, he'll try to put that upon them. He tries to do it to all of us.
Amen.
He'll try to get you to think, "Brother so-and-so doesn't love you. Sister so-and-so doesn't love you. Oh, the people in that church don't appreciate you." That's the devil speaking to you. And the quicker we discern him and get ourselves back into the right atmosphere, the quicker you'll get yourself back to where the glory of God can come down on your experience once again. But it's true, friends. The devil is very cunning in these things. He's very, very active. False accusers. Incontinent. That word false accuser, devils. It describes those who pick holes in others. Those are all his fault-finding others. Oh, did you see the way that their children were dressed? Oh, did you see this and that happened? Oh, did you see? What about yourself? What about looking in the mirror?
Amen.
What about praying for those people?
Amen.
But instead, you're picking holes in other people all the time. Criticism, criticism, criticism. Criticism of the devil, friends.
Amen.
Criticism is of the devil. Those who pick holes in others and spread criticisms and innuendos. Even if you don't say a direct criticism, but you say something in a clever way to get people to believe something about somebody. Now, I don't really know if that brother's walking right with the Lord. You know? Something like that. That's the devil, friends. And we need to, all of us need to repent because we've all yielded to that spirit. And we need to help one another that when we're together and somebody wants to start like I say, "Brother, please. Let's not forget what the name Diabolos means."
Amen.
I don't want to have the characteristics of diabolos in my experience. I want to have the characteristics of the dove and the lamb, which brings the atmosphere that you can have a day of Pentecost once again in the midst of the saints. Those who pick holes in one another. The diabolical effects of slanderous gossip or malignant misrepresentations in church. Friends, we know what those effects are.
Amen.
In this church. We know. I'll finish with this. The power of a lie. If you go, sister, to the first slide again, please. This one where there's a single person there. The power of a lie. Now consider one lie told against this sister.
Amen.
Let's look at how far-reaching were the effects.
Amen.
Just one lie. Made by a believer against a believer. This is in 20th Century Prophet. We know it. You can watch it on the tape. To those that are scientific, go and watch it. You'll see it for yourself. The prophet says, now we're strangers. I see you're strictly a stranger to me. You're from away from here. You've come from another city. You've got a whole lot of trouble on your heart. Yeah. These are from that time, friends.
Amen.
It's affected the atmosphere of her life. She's got a lot of trouble on her heart. Maybe it wasn't like that before, but something came in and now she has a lot of trouble on her heart. And you've got heart trouble to begin with. And he shows that that trouble on her heart caused her to have heart trouble. So this trouble that she was in, this darkness now that was influencing her, had so affected her both spiritually and now it even overspilled into her physical being that she had heart trouble. He says, there's a whole lot of blackness. I see a black sheet keep following you like that. Oh, it's a lie. Can you see a lie has a life?
Amen.
A lie is just not just words that you say. But a lie is a spirit. A lie is a divine energy. When you lie like that about somebody, something is imparted into that person. There's an effect. It comes, a spiritual something. And Satan, the opportunist, he thought, this is my chance.
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped into the atmosphere of this precious sister's life.
Hallelujah.
Says, I see a black sheet. It's a lie. Somebody told a lie on you. And that was a man professing divine healing. Friends, it's not what happens out there, what people say against us that affects us. It's what people say against us here.
Amen.
This is where the problem comes in. It's not what Satan said out there, but when it gets in here that it becomes a, destroys the atmosphere. Somebody told a lie, a man professing divine healing. The sister says, yes, sir. And she starts crying if you watch it. He said, you're a witch. That's a lie. But he said she was a witch. Yes. Is that true? And you've got a whole stir in your church or something another about it. One lie caused a whole stir in the church. It caused her to have heart troubles. It caused troubles in the whole church. One lie. That a man professing divine healing said about a sister in the church. And it sent a darkness down. It sent a spirit that was following this woman, affecting her in her life. And that spirit spilled over into the church and started to affect the whole church. A stir in the church. Isn't that right? Your pastor's sick right now. Sister, don't pay no attention to what them people tell you. They're lying. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Pay no attention. You know what she needed to do? Instead of listening to what other people said, she needed to know what did God say about her. And that's what you and I need as well, friends. When people are saying this and that against you, want to discourage you, go and see what God says about you. And that truth will set you free. Sister, don't pay no attention to what them people tell you. They're lying. The only thing that's wrong with your heart is that nervous condition. It's got your heart worked up. Go home in peace. And God bless you. You're all right. God bless you. You're not a witch.
Amen.
Oh, and that same word is still the discerner today.
Amen.
That same word, that same logos will be with us to the end of this journey.
Amen.
And as much as he ministered a change in her atmosphere by delivering her, he wants to do it for every single one of us here today. Every single one of us. But just give him an opportunity. When you're at home, put on those message tapes. Let the Logos come and speak into your experience. Come and speak. But you know what happens when we get discouraged? The first thing we stop doing, we stop praying. Which is the very last thing that we should stop doing. When we're disappointed because somebody says this against us, I'm not going to go to church anymore. That's the very last thing that you should be doing.
Amen.
That's the very last thing that you should be thinking Amen. About. You should be more faithful at the post of duty.
Amen.
You should be more diligent in your prayer. Amen. You should be more diligent in listening to the messages because you're going to need it because you're under warfare now. Amen. There's a spiritual warfare and you do not want that warfare to defile your experience. You don't want to let that come in and you're thinking of revenge. You don't want that to come in and you're thinking of thoughts of hatred and darkness and you get defiled and a root of bitterness rises up inside of you.
Amen.
Friends, we don't want it to be like that.
That's right.
That's why they say that this one here, slander, backbiting, gossip, it's one of the cruelest sins. Listen to this. The devil is the patron saint of all slanderers. And he is the, of all slanderers, he is the chief. In a sense, slander is the most cruel of all sins. If a man's goods are stolen, he can set to build up his fortune again. But if his good name is taken away, irreparable damage has been done.
Amen.
It's one thing to start an evil and untrue report on its malicious way. It's an entirely different thing to try to stop it. See that, friends?
That's right.
That's why I said that rabbi, when the people said evil against him in the church, that man and that woman, and they went to the rabbi and they said, Rabbi, we're really sorry, we spoke all this evil against you. And then the rabbi took a pillow and went outside and cut it with a knife, a feather pillow, and cast all the feathers into the wind, and the wind blew them everywhere. Then he said to them, okay, please go and collect all of those feathers. And they said, it's not possible. And that's what gossip does.
Amen.
That's what slander does. That's what diabolos does. It starts something that you can't repair it. Then you say something evil against someone, it goes out into other countries, other places. Then you come and say sorry to that person, but the damage has been done.
Amen.
How are you going to repair that damage? That's why slander, the devil, diabolos, gossip and these things, it's one of the cruelest things you can do to somebody.
Hallelujah.
To spread a false story against somebody, to speak evil against somebody. Our friends, let's repent of that spirit.
Hallelujah.
Let's never allow that spirit once again.
Amen.
I'll finish with a quote that I said I'd start off with. The prophet says it in a prayer line. Just where he says, oh my, I just see them people out there. It seems like it's becoming a mess to me.
Amen.
How I think that Satan, oh, if I could just break that spirit above you right now. There was a spirit above the people between them and the glory. And the prophet says, if you can just break this spirit, that's all. Satan is waving his black wings around there, trying his best to keep you from believing. If there's some way that could move away, there would be nothing between you and the glory land of God, which would fall upon you and heal every person here. He says, believe with all your heart. So as friends, we look to the future and we're desiring to see God glorify His name. We've got to wage war with this darkness in heavenly places. These things that stand between you and the glory of God. This darkness, this uncertainty, this doubt, this confusion, whatever it is. You've got to break through that if you wanted to break into the glory of God. The prophet says always when you wanted to start a revival, you've got to break through something first. Because Satan resists. He tries everything that he can to oppose. But if the saints resist him, he'll flee.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's stand, saints.
Amen.
Amen. Let's not forget our topic, saints, is creating the right atmosphere. So there's things we can do to create the atmosphere, and there's certain things we shouldn't do
Amen.
If you want to create the atmosphere. And I think let's really learn, each and every one of us, from what we've been through, that the Lord may help us as we go forward in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's sing that song. Faith in the Father, faith in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost. Please do one.
Faith in the Father, in the Son, faith in the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Demons will tremble and sinners awake, and faith in Jehovah can anything fade. Faith in the Father, faith in the Son, beautiful light, come with the dewdrops of mercy, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, oh, holy saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Love and mercy in his name, Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, we'll walk in the light. Bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Hear the Savior's, hear the Savior's call. Jesus, the light of the world.
the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world.
Since you've heard the word, now it's time for action. It's time for the greatest action you can do. Before you try to do anything else, wrestle in prayer. Prevail and overcome like Jacob. If there's something been oppressing you, if there's something been depressing you, if there's something been opposing you, don't leave this place like that. Let's call upon his name. Let's seek him while it's called today. Even as the Lord spoke to Brother Greg and to Sister Olga as well and said, hurry up. Hurry up. Friends, we need to quicken our pace. And that's how we're just trying to show this enemy, because we want to break completely through this enemy so the Lord will help us to quicken our pace as the sons and daughters of God. We've been at this mountain. The Lord's moved us from that mountain. We've just looked back today just to analyze and say, what did the devil do to bring us from where we were to that kind of a place? And friends, now we seek the Lord to say, Lord, now that you've equipped us with that experience and that wisdom and that knowledge of these things, Lord, by your grace, I go forward. Far better equipped, far Hallelujah. More determined, Lord, because I want to make up lost ground. And let's pray for one another. Friends, every single one of us here, we need each other.
Hallelujah.
Saints, I need you, saints. You need me. We need one another. Nobody here is your enemy. Nobody here is your enemy. The only one here that's your enemy is the devil. Is the power of darkness that we desire to try to separate you from one another. Let's never yield ourselves unto such again. But let's come to a time of prayer now. If you need to repent, let's repent. That's why the blood was shed. The Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate. Jesus the just.
Hallelujah.
Jesus the righteous. His blood still speaks upon this day. It speaks grace and mercy and forgiveness. Whatever we need, let's approach unto him. Let's call upon his name in prayer before we go. Father, we pray.
Oh Father, Jesus, most gracious and heavenly Father, Jesus, we come before thee, even upon this time, Father, after such, Lord, a blessed word, Lord, Father, a noble exhortation, Father, oh God, that Lord Savior calls us out of wrong, that calls us, Father, out, Lord Savior, even of Lord. Thou hast overcome, Lord, Jehovah God. We are looking unto thee, Lord, even upon this time. Part with us, even as we part, Lord. And keep us, Lord, even in this week, Lord, Jehovah God. Let me be careful constantly, Lord, to keep close to thee, Lord, and to give thee the glory, Lord, Jehovah God. Bless this word, Lord.
Let's continue in worship, saints.
Circumstance, no matter what the situation, oh Lord, hallelujah, we will lift up holy hands. Oh, Elohim, 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 worship you, Lord. Elohim, oh, Elohim, how we long to worship you. Here we are in sin.
chosen. Hallelujah.
Because you have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion,
a great portion of heaven
waiting for you. Of what you decided,
oh hallelujah!
That was a prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger,
oh,
that is what will produce.
Itself in an atmosphere. That if you bring your atmosphere and I bring my atmosphere and all bring
Hallelujah.
Our atmospheres together, we'll rise up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our desire.
Amen.
Just one announcement. We're going to change our Wednesday service time, starting time by 30 minutes. We're going to bring it earlier. So we'll start singing. It's quiet time, 6:30, singing at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday. So we'll start preaching then 7:30. We aim to be out by 9. We're just doing it to try to help, especially people with younger children and things like that. It's like I was saying, our Wednesday services are very badly attended. So we're trying to do this just to try to accommodate people. So please support the service. I know some people do say, I've got to do homework with my children, that I'm sure for one night of the week, just a Wednesday, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, you can be free. But surely just a Wednesday night, we can't sacrifice one night. Now, can't you do something on a Tuesday, whatever? You know, I know there's lots of different reasons that we have. Some are genuine, but I do believe that if we'd come together on a Wednesday and use our Wednesdays better, it would help our Fridays. And our Fridays would help our Sundays, and we get into an upward spiral where the Lord would help us. So we're going to bring the Wednesday time, starting time, half an hour forward, just to try to accommodate people who need to get home, get their children to sleep before going to school and so forth the next day. So really inviting you to come on Wednesday. Let's come into the presence of the Lord. Let's sing one song. I asked Brother Dave to sing to close to us in prayer. Let's sing that song. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. A son of God shouldn't be trodden down. So let's kick that mamba down.
Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The son of God must not be trodden down. So, oh, kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that man. Arise and shine, keep the orphan he has come. Let's hold to his agenda.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise his name, and be garrisoned by prayer. Don't let the devil take your confidence, Lord. Don't you hate your brother, that's the root of bitterness. We've got to walk in that way of holiness, kick him down, have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so down, kick him down, have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that man. Cover your face, cover your feet with reverence and humility. Let's go into action with confidence. Stand flat-footed in your trials, though they may be sometimes weak. Always remember to kill Jesus in your sin. Remember every day, that token on display. It's an act of love, so follow that God. That's no idol. That's no idol. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so oh, kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down. Unconquered by tradition, in this day we stand. Like Joshua and Caleb, we are to take the land. But brother, it won't be easy. It's not a flowery bed of ease. Remember that old devil, he'll bring to the squeeze. Don't let him have you blue, wondering what you're gonna do. We're on that seventh peak, so we'll just fade. We'll just fade. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The son of God must not be trodden down, so we'll kick him down, kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. Son of God must not be trodden down, so kick that man.
Just bow our head, saints. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we so thankful to Thee, O Lord. Father, for Your loving kindness that You continually show unto us, Lord. Father, how we want to thank You, Lord, this afternoon. Father God, because, Lord, whilst You blessed us, Father God, Satan was exposed.
Amen.
And Lord, we know Satan hates to be exposed.
Hallelujah.
Oh Lord. Father God, but we thank you for your provision, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for overcoming power, Lord.
Amen.
Father, which you've given unto us once again, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, to overcome the enemy. Father, how faithful you are to your word, Lord. You said when
Amen.
The devil comes in, Lord, like a flood, you always raise a standard.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the raised standard of your word, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, for you said, Lord, that Father, where your word is like a light, Lord, unto our souls, Lord, unto our
Amen.
Feet, O God.
Amen.
Father, and we thank you for this blessing upon this day. Lord, we know, Father God, that the enemy, the devil and his demons, Lord, they, Father God, screaming, Lord, with anger, Lord, upon
yes,
this day.
Lord.
But Father, it's breathed life into our souls,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Thank
it's
you,
energized
Lord.
Us once again,
thank
O God.
You, Lord.
Father, we ask you for grace and mercies, Lord,
Amen.
As always, Lord. Father, that you'd help us, Lord, not to point the word at anyone else.
No, Lord.
But, Lord, each one to search his heart, to search
Amen.
His soul, O God.
Amen.
Father, for we've all fallen short, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, we thank you for your grace, Lord. For it's, your word is grace, Lord, unto our souls.
Amen.
Father, and we always want to yield ourselves to your word, Lord. Father, we want to look in the mirror of your word, Father, and behold, Lord, what man of man is there. We don't want to turn and forget, Lord, what we've seen. But Lord, help us, Lord, Father, that
Hallelujah.
Even when we depart from your house, Lord, Father, for even as your word shone light, that our enemy, the adversary, Lord, is like a lion, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, God roaring, waiting for opportunity.
Amen.
He doesn't sleep or slumber. So, Father, neither should we, Lord. Father, but give us grace to hold fast to your word, Lord.
Amen.
Father, God, to your revealed word, to your anointed word.
Amen.
That, Lord, when the enemy comes in, Father, we'd
Amen.
Use your word to overcome him, Lord.
Amen.
The same way which our Savior Jesus did, Lord.
Yes.
When Satan came at a point of weakness,
our
Lord overcame him by the word.
Amen.
Father God, grant your children grace. Grant us mercies, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father God, let no one be offended by your word.
Yes,
Father, for your commandments are not grievous,
Amen.
Lord. Father, Amen. Please undertake for every man, every
Amen.
Woman, every child, O God.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, for even, Lord, from the Sunday school, Lord.
Amen.
Father, how we, Father God, we enthused and encouraged, Lord, to look toward the rapture. Father God, these are real things, O Lord. Father, so let there be no woman, no child here, Lord, no man that will miss that, O God.
Amen.
But Father, we just want to bury ourselves in the things of your kingdom, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we want to put aside the vain and carnal things of this life. Though, Father God, some things are necessary. But Lord, we know what is important for us, Lord. Father, is to store up our treasures in heaven. So Father, grant us grace, grant us mercies, O God. Father, let your word be born in our souls,
Amen.
Lord. Heavenly Father, as we depart, Lord, Father, as you've given us traveling mercies, Father, coming into your house,
Amen.
Father, with bad weather, Lord, Father, at this time, but Lord, you've protected all your children. We ask
Amen.
That you'd continue to do that, O God.
Yes, my Father.
Heavenly Father, we pray, even Lord, we see some saints are not here upon this day.
Amen.
Father, some men work, some have traveled, but each one, Lord, we ask for grace and mercies
Amen.
Upon them, O God. Lord, please undertake and be merciful.
Please,
Father, we pray even, Lord, for special grace, Lord.
Yes,
we know that whenever a saint gives a testimony,
Hallelujah.
Father God, Satan wants to discredit that.
Amen.
So we apply the protection, Lord, of the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, upon the testimony given upon this day.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, please, may you just watch over and protect your
Amen.
Children, Father. Lord, we pray and ask your grace as we depart. Continue to watch over us. Guide us, Lord. Especially as, Father, we pray for preparation for the upcoming meetings, Lord, which
Amen.
We're so much looking forward to.
Yes.
Father God, let there be no hindrance, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Help each brother, each sister, Lord, to make preparation, Father.
Amen.
Lord, we ask for protection as well for sisters which are expecting, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, protect them, keep them safe to give a safe delivery, Father. We take nothing for granted, O God, but we put everything into your hands. Lord, continue to guide and to lead us, Lord. Father God, bless every officer, Lord. Bless every brother, every sister. Bless our pastor, Lord. Father God, we're thankful for him. We're thankful for the ministry, Lord. We're thankful for humility to put oneself aside and allow for you, Lord, to move therein.
Hallelujah.
Father, continue to do so. Even the saints which will come and minister your word, Lord, during, Father God, the upcoming meetings, we pray for preparation for them, Lord. Father God, Lord, may you just bless them, Lord. And
Amen.
Let, Father God, our hunger, Father God, Lord, make them dig deeper into your word, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, Lord, that it will be just a blessed time, Lord, in your presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. And Lord, we commit everything into your hands. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing one more.
I am weak, but